So we wanted to give our docs here a chance to ask a few questions, and let's begin with Warren.
I have two. One is the role of iron chelation. When do you use it? I find the patients that I send to academic centers are all over the map. There doesn't seem to be one kind of standard. And the second is, when do we use G-CSF in addition to erythropoietic EPO agents in patients who have MDS-associated anemia?
For iron chelation therapy, you know, there is no randomized trial showing a survival benefit with iron chelation therapy. We now have oral agents. Some of them are getting better tolerated, some of the newer formulations than desferoxamine or desferoserox. In any case, though, no randomized trial showing a survival benefit. So I usually give my patients the benefit of the doubt, though. Those patients who have low-risk disease, low-grade disease, primarily just anemia and are transfusion-dependent, those are patients that I will consider for chelation therapy. Patients with intermediate and high-risk disease, you know, whose survival is shorter, I typically don't. One of the debatable points that comes up, though, is a younger patient with higher risk disease, should you chelate them because they're going to go on to a transplant and unloading iron might be beneficial? If you have that kind of time, sure, I think that makes sense, but you know, typically you don't have time to, you know, give long courses of iron chelation therapy. So I don't see it as a benefit, and it can complicate things given the renal hepatic toxicity. So basically, transfusion-dependent, low-risk patients with MDS, I will consider iron chelation therapy.
Guillermo, anything you want to add to what Harry just said?
No, I agree with the chelation totally with what he said. I very rarely chelate my patients. I was part of this randomized trial called Telesto that was changing size because it was difficult to accrue. And I wish I changed my practice soon, because at some point this data is going to come out and hopefully it will show a benefit, and then I will move to collecting everybody. But there are several aspects. First of all, as Harry said, not through data. Second, toxic. And third, actually, talking about drug prices, we have not really discussed this. These are like really extremely expensive indications. So for an oral compound with no track record, with some toxicity, I think these are very problematic. I particularly don't believe the European data that was published maybe a decade ago. In my practice, very rarely I see heart disease and liver cirrhosis. I see once in a while. And I actually think that, and I discussed this with the sponsors of this type of intervention on multiple occasions, that unfortunately we made a major mistake here. This intervention was extrapolated from the sickle cell anemia and this thalassemia, thinking, okay, you remove iron, this is good for your heart and your liver. Actually, people with MDS die from infection complications and transformation to AML. And the pity, actually, is that hypothetically, it is possible that iron chelation could ameliorate the rate of infections and actually could decrease the rate of transformation. But it has never been really tested. And I think this extrapolation, at least in North American population, is not 100% right. So I use, and for sure, I don't use a ferritin level of 1,000 to start chelation. So I do it. I've seen, for instance, extreme cases of people with hemochromatosis and MDS that already start with like ferritins on 5, you know, 10,000. Yeah, so I'll do something like this. But, or if the patient has heart disease, the issue of the transplant is very important. That data was very hot a few years ago. But even with my transplant colleagues, this doesn't have a lot of traction. I guess they are concerned in terms of toxicity, pre-transplant, etc.